Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
So I have a title for today's message, and hopefully it will encourage you. Your testimony draws God's attention. Your testimony draws God's attention. Jesus, you know, there's many, many promises in the Bible. And some are better than others. Jesus promised us, I believe, through his sacrifice on the cross, promised us wholeness, salvation, that's our wholeness with God, prosperity, that's our wholeness with the world system, and I believe he promised us health. He promised us salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity. He promises all these things. But he also promised us that some hard times could come. We have a promise that, you know, not everybody is going to love the fact that we've given our lives to God. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, that not everybody has rejoiced with your conversion, which is amazing to me. You know, I can go and I can proselytize people about a marketing system or about a weight loss plan or try to get them to join my gym or try to get them to be in a business thing and or even, you know, try yoga or chanting or magic red bracelets and all kind of amulets and stuff, and the whole world's fine with that, but try to tell them about Jesus. All of a sudden, people get a little worked up. Why is that? Because there's a spiritual thing that happens when we start talking about Jesus. Have you noticed that in schools, kids are doing, I'm not scared of schools, I'm not scared of yoga, I don't do it, I'm not want anything to do with it, but have you noticed that in the schools, yoga's all right. And New Age stuff is okay, but oh my, talk about Jesus. Why? Because when you talk about Jesus, stuff starts to happen. When you just talk about him, spiritual things begin to shift. And people don't know how to deal with that, and so they'll start to come against you. And if you fall for that trap, you'll think that you have to defend it. Newsflash, you don't have to defend God. You don't have to defend God. Actually, let's jump to John chapter 9. I just want to get in John 9. What did I tell you, Matthew 10? Good. Go to John 9. In John 9, we see a very similar story. We see a man who was blind from birth. Blind from birth. Now, if I was blind from birth, I would like to see. How about you? You'd be amazed how many people have no desire to actually see change in their life. They just, you know, some people are scared to hope, we'll say that. Some people have learned to live off of their dysfunction. You want to open a hornet's nest, try to challenge someone's codependency. Sweet Jesus, you'll think that you just met the Antichrist or something, the way they come at you, like, what just happened? Because it's a crutch that people live on for security. And some people, when they're really hurt, they don't want help. And the fact that you say they need help, you become the problem. Don't fall into that trap, right? Just love people. So here we see a blind guy in John chapter 9. And Jesus goes to heal him. Now, it was the Sabbath when Jesus wanted to heal him. And on the Sabbath, the Jews said, you're not allowed to do anything. And Jesus is like, yeah, well, that's funny because Sabbath was created for me. I wasn't created for it. So I'll rest how I choose to rest on the Sabbath. And Jesus chooses to rest by healing people. He's like, this brings me rest. So he heals the guy, and they try to set him up. And they go to the guy, and they're like, hey, how did you get healed? And Jesus, and the guy tells him, hey, here's what happened. I was born blind. This dude came, and he spit in some dirt, and he rubbed it on my eye. Then he told me to go rinse in the river Siloam, and then I would receive my healing. Let me tell you a side note right now about healing. Often, God will do something miraculous in your life with a condition. Now, it's by grace, But often he'll say, you'll keep this healing if you. And many people get the breakthrough, don't keep the breakthrough, because they don't follow the instruction of the Lord. Many people will get a financial breakthrough, and the Lord is like, you know, go and sin no more, i.e., pay your bills, don't spend money you don't have, be faithful to God with your tithe. They'll get the financial breakthrough, don't stay faithful to God, worry, and then wonder why they're in a worse place than where they started. It often comes with breakthrough. I knew a friend of mine had a friend in college who was completely deaf, and they prayed for him for 7 hours. And after, this is going to freak some of you out, I just want to let you know to say that right there. After 7 hours, a scorpion crawled out of his ear that they captured into a jar. And that was a demon had manifest as a bug. Cat in a jar, and they would show people. And the Lord gave this guy a word. Hey, listen, after this, you need to get these foundational truths established in your life and whatever. And then he didn't serve the Lord after that. And within 3 months, he was deaf again. Let it not be me, Lord, right? Let it not be me. And so, that's my side note. If the Lord does breakthrough in your life and he tells you, hey, now do this, that's just my recommendation. So we see this blind guy, right? And Jesus comes and he puts spit on his eye, made some mud, put spit on his eye. I believe the prophetic significance of that healing was the Lord is here to redeem the earth. What comes out of his mouth is anointed. Rinse in the river Siloam, which is sent. Jesus will send his word to heal the nations. That's just me. So they call the guy, and they say, listen, tell us what happened. And the guy's like, here's what happened. I was blind, and then he healed me. Any other questions? And they're like, well, and the rabbis were a little upset because they're not healing anybody. And they're like, if we're not healing anybody, how can anybody heal anybody? You know that spiritual pride? That says, how can he be anointed? I'm not that anointed. Clearly, that must be the devil. Like, no. No, no, it's in the Bible. God promised it, and it's happening. It's true. And so this guy gets healed, and the religious people are trying to box him in. He's like, well, maybe he wasn't really blind from birth. And so they go to the parents. And they say to the parents, is that your son? What happened? And he's like, well, we know it's our son, but we don't know what happened. He's grown, ask him. And the Bible tells us that they wouldn't defend the son because they knew that if they said that Jesus healed, that they would be put out of the synagogue. Now, I don't just mean you get kicked out of your church and you find a new church. We're talking about in Jerusalem, you're put out of the synagogue means you're no longer a Jew. You're no longer in their system. You're not one of our people. You hear what I'm saying? And so they say, well, hey, we don't. He's of age. He's an adult. You ask him what happened, right? And so they go back to the dude and they say, now tell us again what happened. And then the dude gets funny with him. He's like, now this is really funny. I got healed, yet you don't know how it happened. Isn't that funny? Do you want to become one of his disciples? And then they put him out of the synagogue. What? We see that just by this man telling the testimony of what Jesus did, got all the religious authorities worked up. We see all the way back in Jesus' day, just people talking about what he did will get religious spirits worked up. The key here is we're going to show what happens on the good side when you share the testimony of what Jesus did. You ready? Matthew chapter 10 gives us a great promise here in verse 10. Now, verse 19. All through Matthew chapter 10, Jesus tells people, go do this stuff. Go do what I told you to do. Don't worry about money. Just go. And he says in verse 19, when they hand you over, don't worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Listen, we're talking today that your testimony will draw God's attention. And the first point I want to show you is when you share your testimony, God will speak through you. God will speak through you when you share your testimony. It says here, listen, you're going to tell your testimony and people aren't going to like it. It's going to box you into a corner that people will come after you. Now, the challenge that most people have is when they're challenged by the gospel, you try to get smarter. As if you can get into a logical debate and defend God. You can't logically defend God. It doesn't work that way. He's not built on logic. He's built on faith. And what they want to do is they want to drag you out of the realm of faith into the realm of logic. Oh, if you got healed, where's the medical records? Oh, no, I don't have medical records. Oh, no, I don't need medical records to tell you I'm healed. If you don't believe me, don't believe me. Now, I know you don't like this, and I know this is bothering you, but I'm going to give you a testimony right now. I'm going to tell you what Jesus did in my life. And here's what I like to say. And if you don't want to believe it, that's between you and God. Your problem isn't with me, your problem's with God. Jesus healed me. It lines up with the Word, lines up with the life of Christ, and it's my testimony. Now, if you think I'm lying because I'm telling you that God is good, that's between you and God. I don't have to defend Jesus. You see, then in that moment, Holy Spirit, have you ever witnessed to somebody and you start saying things and you're like, oh my God, I should write this down. This is good stuff. Does that happen? You're like, wow, this is, I don't know where this even came from. Ask me more questions. This is good. Somebody else come around and challenge me. That's the fulfillment of this scripture right here. In the moment when you start talking and people start questioning you, don't worry about it. You don't have to have all the answers. Don't come up with answers that you don't know. Don't make stuff up. Don't try to manipulate people. Don't say stupid stuff and then just get defensive and start insulting people. I remember I was in college and this girl used to try to witness to me all the time. And I had all kind of arguments. I didn't grow up saved. I don't know how many of you are like me, but I didn't grow up saved. I grew up lost. And this girl used to try to witness to me all the time. And I would get her so frustrated. And I knew if I just got her frustrated, she would shut up. And so I would just say stuff that was stupid that I regret and I've repented of already now that I'm saved. And I hope I get to see her again and tell her I'm preaching the gospel. And her ministry actually did something. But bless her life, Jesus. Bless her life. And she was on fire for God, loved Jesus. And I got her so frustrated one time. She was so worked up. She goes, well, that's why Jesus doesn't love you. And I just laughed. I was like, got her. She did not let the Lord speak through her. She did not just trust that God would give her words to deal with me. And God was merciful on me. And he didn't heed her word and remove his love from me. Thank you, Jesus. Listen. Are you ever curious what your gift is? You ever curious what you're called to do for God? What the manifestation of your gift is? You begin telling your testimony to people. And the Holy Spirit will speak through you according to how he created you to minister. Right? Let's say you own an instrument and you don't know how to use it. Right? I got a friend named Eric. He works at Boca Christian and he has a degree in music. And he runs the band at Boca Christian, and he's a worship leader. And I can literally give him any instrument, and he'll know how to play it. Doesn't matter what it is. Just give it, he'll know how to play instruments. And so if there was an instrument, and I didn't know how to play it, all I got to do is give it to this master musician, and he will begin to, oh, this is how that's supposed to work. Oh, awesome. Hear me. If you don't know what your gift is, you get yourself in one of these predicaments. I'm going to tell my testimony. And then not worry about what I'm going to say because Holy Spirit will speak through me right according to my gift. Holy Spirit will use you right according to your purpose. And you'll notice that you'll begin to prophesy over someone or you'll begin to teach them scripture or you'll begin to encourage them or give them hope or however the Holy Spirit is designed to manifest in you. Your gift will manifest in these times, but you got to put yourself in the Father's hand in order for him to use you. Is this making sense? You never have to worry, man, what is my call? See, your gifting, God is, you have a gift, but it's for God's use. It's for his purpose. And if you want to find out what it is, you got to let him use it. As long as you keep it in the toolbox, there's never a reason for him to show you what it is and how to use it. Does this make sense? And so you're like, Pastor, I don't know. Do I just start trying to prophesy over people? No. What you do is you minister to the lost. Too many people, they want to start their ministry right here on stage. And we don't let you minister up here until we know what you minister like out there. Because we got to know what's in you before we put you up here. Does this make sense? You're up here on stage talking to me. Well, we don't want to have to pull the microphone out of your hand. We don't want to do that because you're saying crazy stuff. Does this make sense? You don't get to work it out here. You work it out there. And you work it out in your small group. You work it out in life. You work it out on Friday nights. And you allow Holy Spirit to use you, and that's how you find what your gift is. I remember the very first time I ever prophesied. I remember I didn't even know I had a gift of prophecy. I had no idea at all. And I was on a mission trip to Nicaragua many years ago, and we're praying for these students, and I just began, out of my mouth just became words, and it surprised me. I was shocked, and I went to pray for the next guy, and it happened again. I was like, well, this is good right here. I like this. I might move to Managua because I'm anointed here. And I came back to America, and as I would witness to people, this gift would bubble up out of me. And I was like, well, praise Jesus, I found this gift because I went and I put myself in a position that I needed God to use me because I had nothing. How many people got activated on the mission field? And you came back with something you didn't go up in the front again. Hallelujah. Started operating in stuff. That's what happens. You put yourself out there, and God will begin to use you. Are you with me? That's number one. I hope you get something out of this. Number two, you ready? So, as we talk about your testimony, draws God's attention. And our first point is how God will tell you what to say. He'll use you and put words in your mouth. And number two, your testimony is a weapon in your hands. Let me tell you what he says about it in the book of Revelation. He says in Revelation 12, verse 10, he says, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Look at these words again. The kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before God day and night. Verse 11, I want you to hear this. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives, even faced with death. You see, your testimony only has power when you put words to it. It only has power when you put words to it. You see, there is a devil. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. There is a God to love, and there's a devil to hate. And we know that the enemy is constantly speaking bad about you. Hear me. He's constantly speaking bad about you. He's constantly trying to put you down. He's constantly trying to put thoughts in your head which are neither true nor real. He's trying to say your things that there's no way you could be if you're a child of God. I like when the enemy tries to tell me I'm nobody. Because I know God likes to use nobodies. I love it. Oh, praise God. That positions me for success. Thank you. Thank you. You're never going to make it. Awesome. That's who God likes to glorify his name through. That's great. I am the least of these. Awesome. Look at you, you're not accomplishing anything. Oh, then God's testimony is going to be so much greater. Hallelujah. Glorify your name in me, Jesus. I have no talents or abilities. I am worthless and failed time and again. Just the kind of people God likes to use. He's not looking for somebody. He's looking for nobodies, and I qualify. Anybody else here qualify? Yeah, I qualify. You don't even come from preacher's kids. I know it's going to be a miracle when God uses me. It's going to be awesome. You hear what I'm saying? But your testimony, when you put words to it, it has power. I want you to hear this. Jesus Christ overcame the enemy on the cross, right? How many of you would like to overcome the enemy? He says you just do it right here through what Jesus did on the cross and, say, and the word of your testimony. So if you're saying, oh, Jesus, take him away, Jesus. Like, I did my part. I already did my part. Where's your testimony? You start speaking your testimony over your situation. All of a sudden, the enemy has less power. Oh, you're never going to make it. You're not going to make it. Well, that's funny because I got saved and now I'm making it to heaven. And you just go tell, you want to make the devil mad? You just go start telling people about it. I used to be going to hell. Now I'm going to heaven. Oh, you think you're better than people? Oh, no, I just think I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. I think Jesus is somebody. You think you're better than other people. I didn't say that. All I'm telling you is I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. You saying you're better than me? I don't know. All I'm saying is I'm going to heaven and I'm not going to hell because of Jesus. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, something starts happening on the inside of you. And what that is the enemy's hand starts to get a little weaker. When you start telling the world about what Jesus does, the enemy don't want you around as much. They don't want to be around you. I have found that the enemy does not like getting punked over and over and over again. I have found every now and then, now you may not believe this or you may, the enemy, he don't like to waste his resources on overcomers. He does not like to waste his resources on overcomers. And so at some point he starts saying, oh, you're going to be broke. Let's mess with his money. Oh, you mess with my money? Awesome. I'm going to give some more because I know how to get breakthrough from this right here. And eventually the enemy says, I ain't messing with his money because he starts giving more every time I do it. You got to teach him a lesson. Who remembers Ron's testimony? Remember, he was broke for a long time. Remember that? Didn't have no job. Didn't look like he had no future. Collecting cans, I think. I'm not sure. He got up in one service, and he gave a testimony about how he was in a hard financial time. And he was going to go on a mission trip. And they said, if you go on the mission trip, you're going to lose your job. And he got up and he gave a testimony about, I didn't lose my job. As a matter of fact, I got a bonus that week. And I got a promotion when I got back. You remember that? And that week he got a job after he shared the testimony. He just told the enemy, you keep messing with my money. Watch what happens. Keep messing with my job. Watch what happens. I'm going to give other people courage to overcome you in financial areas. Keep messing with me. Watch what happens. You put the enemy on notice. Guess what? I already know how to get you. And it's with my words. It's free. I ain't even got to do nothing. Just talk. Some of you, that's like, come on, man. It's easy seed sowing for some of you. Just talk. Just shift your talk a little bit to something righteous. And all of a sudden, watch out now. Some of you right now, as much seed as you are sowing out there, if a little bit of it was good with your words, you might be bishop by now. Who knows? You might have a TV program, Overcomer's Word of Positivity. I don't know. But who knows how you could have a whole forest of overcoming with the seeds you could sow with your mouth. If you just make a covenant, you remember the prophet said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I might not say. Some of you just mean to make a covenant with your mouth. See, your mouth, I didn't mean to get into all this, but your mouth is a conduit. Jesus said, it's not what goes in your mouth, it's what comes out that defiles you. You just decide, you know. Oh, Jesus. You're going to be okay if you don't tell people how terrible things are. You are not going to break in half if everybody doesn't know that you're miserable. You will survive if you don't make people feel sorry for you. It will be okay. I'm miserable, and I better tell everybody how miserable I am. Maybe you're miserable because you're sowing seeds of misery by telling everybody about how miserable you are. Which came first? Well, it was in my heart, and I just spoke it. Yeah, and that's what defiled you. What might have happened if you felt miserable and you started telling people that they're awesome? What if you start telling people about the one time that you overcame misery? You think that might multiply in your life? What if, because everybody in here has a seed. He says he gives seed to the sower. He said he gives grace for grace. So you already got enough grace to get more grace for the area you need. Everybody's got a testimony in your area of struggle. You'd be like, well, I remember this dude, a good friend of mine when I first got saved. He had a cocaine problem. And he got saved, and lo and behold, the cocaine problem came back. And he was really having a bad binge. And if you've ever been an addict, you know what I'm talking about. And he could not stop smoking crack. And he came to me, he's like, man, I got the victory. I was like, what happened? He said, I went, don't laugh, this is serious. He said, I went, and when he showed me the rocks, I grabbed the smallest one. Now, you might be like, But that was to him, that was the seed of self-control right there. Come on, within 2 days, he was in rehab. Today, he's loving Jesus, raising his kids, active in church. Come on, your victory may not be everything you ever wanted, but if you will recognize that seed that God gave you, come on now. If you will recognize and you will tell God, hey, I see the seed, Jesus. Breakthrough is mine. It's mine. I got it. It's mine. Come on, don't complain that you ain't got the whole thing yet. Breakthrough's mine. I see the victories right here. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now. Come on now. You better, because what you water grows. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. What you water grows. What you water grows. My wife got a word from Heidi Baker. Said, you're going to be a mother of many kids. And she wanted a lot of kids, and we were infertile. Got about 60 daughters right now. That's real to us. What if she decided to stay bitter at God? Not believe that word. How many of you would be her daughter right now? Wouldn't be here. Come on, I live this. I'm telling you what I live. You got to stand up and look at it and say, guess what? You're a lie. You got to sometimes, with your mouth, you a lie. You just a lie. You a lie. You ain't going to make it. How I got this far then if I ain't going to make it? You ain't going to make it. Look how far I got already. I already made it. I could die right now and I made it. I already done broke some generational curses living for Jesus. People look up to me. Come on. Ain't going to make it. I don't know what you talking about. I ain't going to make it to hell with you, but I'm making it. You and I got different destinations. You're right. I ain't making it with you. My final point. I hope you're getting some hope right now. I'm feeling good. Come on. You got to meditate. Wow. You ready? I don't even know what to call this point. You just figure it out on your own. Okay, here's the concept, though. You understand that the Bible does not contain the fullness of God. Do you understand that? Okay, it says that if everything he did was written, there's not enough books to contain it, right? That means there's stuff that he did that isn't in here. And it's just as valid as the stuff in here because God does not change, right? And so the part that we're all supposed to carry is in here, right? But the part that you're supposed to carry in addition is what he speaks to you. What you've witnessed God do in your life, that's a personal revelation of God's nature that he has not shared to other people. And he's entrusted you to carry it. He's entrusting you to share it with the world. We all bring our God pieces together and we form the body. But as long as you don't share what he's entrusted with you, then it dies with you. You're called to release the God story in your life. Hear me. And when you do that, you draw Jesus. Let me show you in Scripture. Let's go back to John chapter 9. If you remember, I'm about to get very excited. If you remember in John chapter 9, this guy was blind, and all he wanted to do was be healed. That's all he wanted. He wanted to see. I want to see, Mike. I don't know about you. I'd like to see it a little more clearly. Have you ever thought, I would sure like Jesus to make things a little more clear for me? Does it ever feel like God is playing hide and seek with you? Except you're not sure you're playing in the same building. It's like, I played a game. Just tell me, just give me a city. Just tell me where to look. Like when I play hide and seek, I kind of, I'm out in the open for my kids. I make it easy to find God. I'm just trying to let you know. So here we are in John chapter 9. Start in verse 34. If you remember, it says, in verse 33, it says, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Verse 34, they answered him, You were born entirely in sins. And are you teaching us? So they put him out. What's up with that? Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. Now, if you were paying attention, you might have missed something very, very, very important right here. Are you ready? People put this man out for talking about Jesus, right? All he was doing was testifying about what God did. Wasn't seeking any publicity for himself. Wasn't trying to make money off of it. Wasn't trying to get over on people. All he did was tell people what Jesus did for him, and they put him out. And what did Jesus do? Let's look at verse 35 again. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, listen, they put the man out, and Jesus didn't say, he don't have to look for me no more. I'm going to go look for him. I'm going to look for the one who's telling people about me. I am going to go to him and reveal myself to him. He don't got to play hide and seek. All you got to do is talk about me, and I will find you. Listen. He says to him, Do you believe in the Son of Man? Right? This guy's got some questions. Who is the Son of Man? He answered, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus made it plain. Jesus said, You have both seen him, and he is the one talking to you right now. He didn't give him a parable. He didn't make it confusing. He didn't go dip in a river, go climb a mountain, go stand on your head three times, fast for 19 days. He said, I came to the man, and I said, I am the one right here. And then I said, the man bowed down and worshiped him. Jesus, listen, you all wandered around. Where's God? I don't know where to find. You just start telling people about him. You start telling people, I don't know what to do. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to sit in my room and suck my thumb until God fixes my problems. No. You get out and start doing something for Jesus. All you got to do is tell people your testimony. All you got to do is start sharing about the goodness of God. You go out there, and the Bible says that he'll come find you. And not only will he find you, he'll start clearing up mysteries for you. He'll start saying, oh, guess what? I know you're wondering about who the Son of Man is. Guess what? I'm here to answer questions for you, not bring you more riddles. He says, listen, you just tell people about me. You just tell them what I did. That's all you got to do is tell them, and I will find you in the midst of your chaos, and I will make things plain for you. You don't have to search no more. Can you say amen? Jesus wants to find you in the midst of your chaos. If you're in confusion, you don't know direction, you don't know where to go, you don't understand what's happening, quit focusing on what's not going right. You start focusing on your testimony. You start telling people about your testimony. You start telling people, come on now, you start telling people what's going right. Stop telling people what's going wrong. You start telling people what's going right, and that begins to multiply. Jesus shows up in your situation and starts to clear things up. Can you say amen? Come on, that's a good word right there. That's a good word right there. Come on, that's a good word. Jesus wants to show up in your life. It's his desire. You see, he created this system. He created this system. Do you want Jesus to find you? They say, oh, Jesus wasn't lost. I was lost. I didn't find him. He found me. Most of you still don't know where he's at. I'll take that back. Many of you know where he's at. It sounded good, though. It just wasn't true. But I got situations that I want to know where he's at. I need to sow Jesus into those situations. Does that make sense? I need more Jesus in those situations. How do I get him? I start releasing the seed that he gave me in those situations. You need to tell people what he's done for you. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. Can I get my life group leaders right here? Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Luke, can you come up? As well with the life group leaders. Hallelujah. 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 Holy Ghost. Ha. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now listen, if you're in here today, well, I just feel like there's some people right now that you need breakthrough in your life. Yeah, it's really that simple. There's people in here, you're away from God. Wow. There's people right now, you know you're supposed to come up and get prayer. Either get right with God or you need some breakthrough. And I just want to invite you to come right now. I don't want to play games. Just come right now. Don't wait. Come now. Come now. You're like, no, no, I know I'm supposed to be up there right now. My hand is burning. God is going to deliver some people right now. Come on. Some people, there's a breakthrough that's needed in your life. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Hallelujah. Travis, can you come over right over here? Let's pray for some people right there. Go ahead. Pray for him right there for you. Thank you, Jesus. Stand with me if you would. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. Diane, come on. Why aren't you praying? Father, we love you, and I thank you for every man, woman, and child in here right now. Father, I pray that you would bubble up the testimony on the inside of them, Jesus, that they would sow into their breakthrough with their words, that you would bless them today, Jesus, that they would share the wonderful things that you're doing in their life, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Listen, if you need prayer, I want to invite you to come to the front. You can stick around and just receive in the presence of